And what better time to do that than now, as we've just as we're doing Harvest Sunday. Some of the children came up. It was really cute watching Matthew come up with that big old bag. You barely even carry it, and you put it down there. But giving, we know it's better to give than to receive. Amen? It is. It's better to give than to receive. And so I'm excited to talk about this. It's actually something, if I'm honest, I've not really talked too much about. But I'm excited. I've been excited to take the challenge. I'm excited to talk about this morning. So I'm just going to get into it. We're going to talk about what we're going to talk about this morning is a very taboo subject, isn't it? It's like it's become sort of this very taboo thing in the church today. And in a lot of churches, the very thought about talking about money or giving, it produces fear in leaders in churches, unfortunately. And it produces skepticism in the rest of the church body. Some of you guys may be skeptical with what I'm about to say. You're like, oh no, what's this American guy? We see all those American televangelist guys. What's this going to sound like? Right? Produces skepticism in people. It's just become this sort of murky, weird, taboo thing that nobody wants to talk about. It's really interesting. But yeah, we're gonna go for it. We're going to talk about money in church. We're going to do it. Yeah, money. The word money is not a swear word in the church. Unfortunately, a lot of people, it's almost like when you say money, like you just like, ooh, we're going to talk about that? It's like a creepy thing for some reason. It's weird. But I promise it's not a swear word in the church. Actually, I want to do a little exercise real quick. On the count of three, I'm going to count to three. And after I say three, we're all going to say the word money together. Okay? Are you ready? One, two, three. Money. Was it that bad, was it? Did anybody spine tingle when they said it? I'm just kidding. No, it's funny though. It's became this sort of weird thing in church that we're just like, ooh, we can't talk about that. Can't talk about that. Primarily, it's reactionary because, unfortunately, some misinformed and misguided people have talked about it in the wrong ways. But just because a bunch of misinformed and misguided people have talked about it in the wrong ways doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it in the right ways. And I want to start here. Did you know that there are almost 800 verses in the Bible that talk about money? There are almost 800 verses that talk about money in the Bible. Did you know that Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven and hell combined? You can look it up yourself. Don't believe me. Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven and hell combined. Actually, Jesus talked about money more than anything else except for the kingdom of God. Jesus, you know that guy who saved your soul that we were singing to earlier? Jesus talked about money more than anything else than the kingdom of God. The only thing that he talked about more was the kingdom of God. That's pretty amazing. Actually, 11 of the 39 parables are about money. One out of every 7 verses in the Gospel of Luke talks about money. All I'm trying to do with these statistics is help us to be comfortable with talking about this subject. Because it is this taboo thing, unfortunately, but it's something that we need to talk about. So in the life of the early church, money was publicly collected. And get this, it was shared between all of those within the church as there was need. There's several different places we see that. Today, we are extremely secretive when it comes to money. I was thinking about it. I'm like, we're sort of like these self-appointed MI5 agents when it comes to what we call our money. We're like super secretive, like with it all the time. We don't want anyone to see or know anything about how much we make or how much or how we spend our money and sharing it. Well, some of us do this by giving it to the church, giving it to missionaries and other people and needs that resonate with our hearts, which is awesome. We should be doing that. But when we give, are we giving joyfully or are we giving out of a sense of duty? Are we endeavoring to give as much as possible or just as little as possible? Do we believe that we are entitled to spend our money however we want because we worked hard for it and earned it? Or that it's God's money and has been entrusted to us to be joyfully stewarded and generously given away? The subject of money is not a cringeworthy topic that should be avoided at all costs. It is something that Jesus cared deeply about. It was his desire, I think, back then and still is today, that we would talk about money, that we would come to understand what he says about money, and that we would act upon what the Bible teaches about it. I really believe that. If Jesus talked about money more than he talked about heaven and hell combined, if he talked about it more than anything else except for the kingdom of God, I'm pretty sure Jesus is passionate about money and how we steward it and how we generously give it. And I'm pretty sure that Jesus would want us to talk about it openly in the church and not be so awkward and weird about it all the time. Well, earlier I mentioned that there are about 800 verses in the Bible having to do with money. And so this morning, we're going to read every single one of them. What? So, Ray, can you just lock all the doors real quick so nobody can get out? No, I'm serious. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to read 800 verses. I'm just trying to have fun with you guys. Is that a remote door lock? I'm kidding. Now, throughout the testimony of Scripture, in both the Old and New Testaments, we see a precedent set for being good stewards and generous givers of our money. Actually, one of the primary ways we can steward our money well is by giving it away. Did you hear that? One of the primary ways that you can steward your money well is by giving it away. That is insanely countercultural, especially in our day. That doesn't make sense to most people. But it is very true. Giving it both back to the Lord and to others in need. And this is what I want to focus on this morning. I want to focus on how we can be better givers of our money. And be like Jesus in that way. And adhere to the teachings of Jesus when it comes to it. So I'm going to start in the Old Testament. I want to really quick look at the origins of generous giving. Now this subject, I mean, you could do a massive teaching series on the subject of money, being that there's 800 verses and there's a lot to be said. There's a lot of lessons that can be taught through looking at money and how we respond to it and what not to do, what to do, all that kind of stuff. But I'm going to try today to just give us a little bit of a snapshot teaching. And so bear with me, but I want to start off by looking at the Old Testament origins of generous giving. And so in Genesis 14, verse 20, we see the first mention of tithing in the Bible. Here we see that Abraham gives 10% to Melchizedek. Then four verses later, in verse 24, we see the generosity of Abraham even more when he gives the rest of his booty from the war, that he got from the war, to the king of Sodom. And so it's not clear from the text whether this was customary in his culture or whether or not he did this before this time or after this time. But what we do see is that his grandson Jacob in Genesis 28 commits to give God a tenth as well. And furthermore, all throughout the Old Testament, we see this become a pattern. We see all the Israelites giving a tenth of everything, not just money, everything they had, and even beyond this, back to the Lord. And it becomes sort of a precedent that we see all the way through the Old Testament. Actually, if you take a deeper look, as I was studying this, several scholars taught me this. And as I took a deeper look, I was like, wow, I never knew that before. But if you take a deeper look, you'll see that there were three tithes collected from the Israelites in the Old Testament. One of those was to support the priests and Levites. It's found in Numbers 18:21. But I'd read Numbers 18 to get some context if you want to check it out. Another tithe was taken for a sacred celebration. That's found in Deuteronomy 14. And a third was collected once every 3 years to support the poor, orphans, and the widows, which is found in Deuteronomy 14 and Deuteronomy 26. So this is really interesting because if you're anything like me, I grew up being told and thinking, I give 10% of my income. And actually, to this day, that's sort of what I do. I give 10% and try to give beyond. That's just me personally. Everybody's different. But I've been taught that. You give 10% of your income, right? Because that's sort of the Old Testament, seeming Old Testament pattern. But actually, a lot of scholars, actually tons of people agree on this, that between these three tithes in the Old Testament, the actual income percentage given by people in the Old Testament was probably closer to about 22 or 23% of their income when they averaged everything together. Now, hold on. Don't freak out. What I'm not saying is that you need to give 23% of your income. That's not where I'm going with this at all. that's not where I'm going. So before you run out of the room, that's not where I'm going. But I'm just stating the facts that that many scholars in interpreting the scripture and looking at the overall tithing message and giving pattern in the Old Testament have calculated and determined that it's pretty clear that with all this calculated that they were giving far more than 10%. They were given more than double. They were given more than double that, which I think is really cool because the precedent in the New Testament shifts, and I'm not going to get into a lot of the details of that this morning, but there's a lot of different thoughts in the body of Christ today about what tithing looks like today, what giving looks like today. Well, some people would say we're in the new covenant, so we don't have to do that old stuff. We don't have to give. We don't have to give anything. We don't have to give. But actually, that's a really, really dumb conclusion, just to be really frank, because the new covenant isn't to hinder us from doing anything. It's to propel us and empower us to be far more generous, I think, to be far more generous. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us right now. Why would we then just refrain from, you know, be like, okay, what's the bottom of the bucket? What can we scrape by on? What can we not give? Why would that be the mentality? It should be, I mean, it is better to give than to receive, is it not? It is. So if that's true, if it's better to give than to receive, then why would we not then want to give as much as humanly possible to the work of the kingdom, to God, to the work of the kingdom, to people in need? We should want to do that. So like I said, there's several different opinions in the church today when it comes to giving or tithing. And instead of getting into all of that, those different views, I don't want to confuse anybody. We're going to keep it simple and focus on what's important and agreed upon by everyone, which is that we are to be generous givers of the money God has generously entrusted to us. So the main thing is that we want to be generous givers of the money God has generously entrusted to us. So we're going to look at that through the lens of three questions. And those three questions the first one is, are you a cheerful giver or do you give out of a sense of duty? We talked a little bit about that already, but 2 Corinthians 9, if you have your Bibles, verse 7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your hearts to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God isn't honored by gifts given reluctantly or out of a sense of duty. He's honored by gifts that are given cheerfully. The word cheerful means to be noticeably happy and optimistic. Are you noticeably happy and optimistic, a cheerful giver, when you give money? Or do you give out of a sense of guilt or a sense of duty? Which one? Are you a cheerful giver or do you give out of a sense of duty? We want to endeavor as New Testament, New Covenant, sons and daughters of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit, to be cheerful giver who freely give everything that's been freely given to us, including our finances. I'll be completely honest with you this morning. I love to give. I absolutely love to give. But there have been times when I've fearfully allowed my circumstances to prevent me from doing so. There's been times when I've not been faithful in that area. I've allowed circumstances happening around me to prevent me from giving anything and been like, oh, I need to keep it all to myself. There have been times when I've been going through difficult times financially and I have given. That's been the majority of my times, to be honest with you, by the grace of God. But in those times, I don't know that I was cheerfully doing so, to be honest. I struggled. We probably all do at different times. But I'm just, you know, I was thinking about this, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God in this. I mean, I'm so thankful for the grace of God, period. But I'm thankful for His grace when it comes to this thing of giving, because I'm so thankful for His mercy that He extends to us, and that He's slow to anger and quick to forgive. That He's not looking at me and going, "I can't believe you didn't get out your checkbook, you moron." That was intense. God would never do that, would He? That's not characteristic of Him at all. He doesn't view us like that. He doesn't heap condemnation upon us like that. Rather, what He does is He flips the whole thing on its head. When we mess up or we're not obedient, He uses it as a training ground to teach us how to be obedient. It's like He teaches us lessons in those times when we screw up that then enable and empower us to be more like Him. That is incredible, and that is grace. He is good when it comes to this stuff. The next thing I want to look at is the second question is, do you endeavor to give away as much as possible or as little as possible? We want to be as New Testament, New Covenant, filled with the Holy Spirit Christians. I'm going to say that a lot. We want to be generous as He is generous. Is God generous? I would say He's very, very generous in so many different ways, but He's also generous in that He provides for His people. The money you have, I just want to tell you, like, I'm not trying to offend anybody in any way, but the money you have isn't primarily because of all the blood, sweat, and tears you've put into obtaining it, although that's necessary to make money in our culture. I'm not saying that's bad, but the money you have is God's money. It's His provision for you, whether He provides it through a 9-to-5 or He provides it for a missionary through other people. No matter how He provides it, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because He's provided it, and He's provided it for you, and He's given it. What we think in art and culture today is that we earned it. We worked for it. We worship the God of entitlement instead of the God of the Bible when it comes to money, unfortunately. And in that, it prohibits us sometimes from being generous as He is generous, because we have the wrong perspective when we're looking at it. We're looking at how little we can give, because we're not realizing the largeness of how much He has given us in every area of life, but also in His provision for us financially. So we want to be generous as He is generous. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6 says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." So let me just say this really quick, okay? Just because some televangelists have misinterpreted and wrongly applied the meaning of this passage does not mean that there isn't any truth contained within it. And the concept of sowing and reaping hasn't somehow become completely void because of the misunderstanding of some imperfect people who have television programs. The concept of sowing and reaping is still valid. It's still legitimate. It's still true. It's still significant. It's biblical. I'm willing to bet that several people in this room have experienced both the difficulties and blessings of sowing and reaping. How many in here have experienced at one time the blessing of sowing and reaping? You've maybe given in some regard, it could be money or something else, but you've given and later on been and seen some kind of, you've reaped some kind of harvest and been like, "Wow, where did that come from?" A lot of times we don't make the connection, and I don't know that we're meant to walk around making the connection all the time. It isn't what these televangelists have unfortunately done in terms of, it isn't this marketing thing in this get-rich-quick scheme, the principle of sowing and reaping. That's not what it is. But it's also not void. There's also truth in it. And when we carry our hearts in humility and love and we pursue generously giving, the Lord will generously give to us. Why? Because He wants to generously give more through us. It's pretty stinking cool, if you ask me. It's really cool. But I think we get hung up on this verse a lot of times. I know I have. But I think a lot of people do because of this whole, these unfortunate individuals who are misinformed and misguided and who, you know, sort of wrongly and way too strongly emphasize this in a sort of a manipulating way. You know, we get hung up on that and then we don't even think that it's true, but it is true. But what's funny I found in my own life is that there's been times where Brittany and I have sowed generously and reaped generously, but there's also been times where God has blessed us in seasons where we didn't think we deserved anything at all. Like it's sort of a weird thing, isn't it? It's not this hard set thing that just happens this way every single time. It happens in different ways. God blesses us how He chooses, not by some mathematical thing that we try to pull out of Scripture and make what we want it to be. There's been some times where I've been in a funk. You guys, you heard me use that word plenty of times, but where I've been in a bad place. And not thinking I'm deserving anything from God, and He's still, because He is loving and gracious and kind, will bless me in an unfathomable way. So I just want to be clear on that, that it's not this, you know, mathematical equation and all that kind of stuff. But you guys know what I'm saying. But yeah, this thing is true though. The Lord loves to generously bless us when we sow generously. So we aren't called to be generous givers just so we can reap generously, but there will be seasons when we'll reap generously, and that's okay because then we can honor God by giving even more generously, right? In those seasons when we're finding ourselves reaping generously, good. That's amazing. That's not bad. Don't condemn that. Don't look down upon people's fortune because of that. That just means they're accountable not to you, not to me, but to God. But that just means that they have the opportunity, if they'll so choose to take it. We have the opportunity, if we will so choose to take it, to give like we've never given before. Why? It all comes back to the fact that we have been given so much. We have been given, and we are continually given so much by the Lord, that why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? It's a huge privilege to be a generous giver in the kingdom of God. It's a huge privilege. We are called to be generous givers because we are called to be like Christ. It's that simple. We're called to be generous. We're called to be generous givers because we're called to be like Christ. We have been freely and generously given everything in Christ. Why then shouldn't we freely and generously give that which He has given us? So the question is, do you endeavor to give away as much as possible or as little as possible? All right, and the third question I want to look at this morning is, do you believe you are entitled to your money or that God has given it to you to be joyfully stewarded and generously given away? Do you have a sense of entitlement when it comes to your money? Do you, you know, that's my money, you know? Or is your money God's money? Is your money God's money that He has given to you to joyfully steward and generously give away? Matthew 6, verse 24 says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." So is money the source and strength of your livelihood and happiness? Many believe it is today. I mean, after all, money makes the world go around, right? Yeah, about that. Does money make the world go around? Seriously? I'm pretty sure there's this infinite being named God who makes the world go around. Money does not make the world go around. It doesn't. So therefore, money should not be, especially as a Christian, our source and strength of our livelihood and our happiness. And let me just, I'll just take another little sidetrack. If I'm being honest, I'm not perfect with this. So John, George, Ray, several people in this church have seen me in some pretty difficult times in our time of being here. I'll just be really, really frank. And has seen it even affect my livelihood and my happiness at times. It has. It's not easy. But at the end of the day, the Lord has helped me. He helps us get through it and get back to realizing who the true source is, where our true strength comes from, and that's from Him. So is money the source and strength of your livelihood and happiness, or is God? Do you feel a sense of entitlement when it comes to your money, or do you realize that you are a steward of God's money? It's just some challenging questions for us to think about. We are called to love God and have faith in His ways pertaining to money. We're not called to serve the master of entitlement. Again, you cannot serve both God and money. I want to serve Him. I want to employ His methods. I want to view money through the lens in which Jesus views money. I want to be generous and freely give it in the way that He is generous and freely gives it. That's the vision here. Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is your treasure? It's a big question. Where is your treasure? Is it in your vacation home? Is it in your season tickets to watch your favorite football club? Is it in what kinds of clothes you wear? Is it in what kind of car you drive? Is it in what kind of possessions you can accumulate, or what kinds of food you eat? Is it in having all the newest technology? Now, hold on. Don't misunderstand me. None of these things are wrong to have. Okay? None of those things I just listed are wrong to have. I'm not condemning anybody. The question is, do they mean more to you than storing up treasures in heaven? The question is does your vacation home or your season tickets or your cool gadgets or your nice cars or your nice clothes or any earthly possessions, do those things mean more to you than storing up treasures in heaven? That's the question. Are the things and ways of this fleeting temporal life worth more to you than the things and ways of Jesus, the eternal one? That's the question. Are the things and ways of this fleeting temporal life worth more to you than the things and ways of Jesus, the eternal one? That's the question, and that's a big one. Now, this passage here is that I just said, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, it's talking about more than just money. But make no mistake about it, it is talking about money. I just want to share with you this, what I think is an incredible quote from John Piper pertaining to New Testament generosity, pertaining to our money. And just listen to this. "The best way that I know how to capture the spirit of the New Testament generosity is simply to say, the issue is not how much must I give, but how much dare I keep. Not shall I tithe, but how much of the money that I hold in trust for Christ can I take for my private use." The financial issue in the church today, it's not tithing, but exorbitance of lifestyle that consumes. The question is not if you can afford to tithe, but can you justify the lifestyle biblically that consumes 90% of your income? Behind that is this question. Do I love to use God's money to spread justice and mercy and spiritual hope in the world? Or do I prefer to embezzle His money to purchase more and more and more personal comfort? It's an incredibly challenging quote from John Piper, but I think really important for us to consider, for us to think about, for us to pray about, and for us to allow the Holy Spirit to minister and speak to us about in the life of the church. Somebody once said, "Show me your bank account and I'll show you what you truly love." Just a brief look at my bank account would definitely show my love for coffee. It would also show my love for food and entertainment. But most importantly, I do think that it would show my love for God. And I think it would show my love for advancing His kingdom. And I think it would show my desire to be generous like He is generous. And I think that's true of probably all of us. So in no way am I saying I'm perfect. I'm not. I don't have it all together. But this topic is something that Brittany and I are becoming increasingly passionate about. And we'll be sharing some more detail with you guys about that and what's next for us. And it sort of has to do with this, to be honest. All right, so I just want to end with this this beautiful story in Mark 12. Some versions call it the widow's mite, the widow's offering. You guys probably all know the story. But I think it's important to go here, considering some of the more challenging things that we've looked at. But starts in verse 41, goes through verse 44 if you want to look at it. It just says this: Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and He watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling His disciples to Him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So here we see this poor widow. She goes, Old Testament Pharisees, 10%, maybe 23%, whatever. There's other stories in the New Testament, people giving 50%. She has nothing, and she gives 100%. That's absolutely amazing. She had nothing, and she gave 100%. Giving is, it's simply an act of worship. Worship is not just the time when we stand up and read words off that, lift our hands, and sing to God. It is. But when we give our finances as to the Lord, it is also an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. It's one of many different ways in which we can love and honor God. It's a fierce struggle, but a huge joy and privilege that we have. And like we just read, it's not about the amount you give. It's not, but the heart with which you give it. It's not about the amount that you give. It's about the heart with which you give that amount. And so those three questions, one time just to end. Are you a cheerful giver, or do you give out a sense of a duty? Do you endeavor to give away as much as possible or as little as possible? And do you believe you are entitled to your money, or that it's God's money that has been given to you to be joyfully stewarded and generously given away? Let's just pray together. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for Your word. God, I thank You, Lord, for the fact that there's 800 verses, Lord, that have to do with money, that have to do with giving, Lord. I thank You, God, that Jesus talked about it so much, that He taught about it, Lord. I thank You, God, that You have taught us to be generous with it because You are generous to us. Father, I pray, God, that You would strengthen me, that You'd strengthen each one of us, God, that You'd give us, Father, even a bigger vision than we already have, Lord, for being generous with our finances. God, that we would be individuals, Lord, who would give to the local church, this church and other works, that we would give to missionaries, that we would give to the poor, that we would give when people have need in our own community, in our own families, or wherever we see a need. Father, that we would be people who would not be saying, how much can we keep? But we would be people who would be saying, how much can I give away? That even in times when we're struggling, that we would endeavor, like that widow, to give you an offering, to give to you, trusting that you are our provider. When we give to you, Lord, we're saying that we aren't in control, that you are in control, and that you are our provider, that you are where our help comes from. You are the one who sustains us, Lord. You are the one who upholds us by the power of your word. It isn't our paycheck. Father, I pray, God, that you just resonate these scriptures through our minds and our hearts this week. God, I pray that you'd bring deeper revelation to every single person in this room, Lord. That you will make one of these scriptures stick out to us throughout the week. And take us deeper into it. Show us more about it, Lord. Give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus. Open up the eyes of our understanding when it comes to giving, Lord.